we ask for your help this morning. Lord, that our hearts would be open and receptive to your word. Lord, that we would hear with a hearing ear that we might fully obey the word of the Lord. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would just see and understand spiritual truth. Lord, that where the God of this age has blinded minds, Lord, that our eyes would be open, fresh and new, to receive and understand spiritual truth today, that we might walk in greater freedom and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we need to be able to say, I am blessed. Ma'am?
In view of the fact that this month is Pastor Appreciation, speaking for me and my family and probably some of y'all as well, we feel blessed to have you as our pastor and Miss Carmen as our pastor.
Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you, Maria, and thank you, all of you. Well, praise the Lord. We are blessed, and the blessing of the Lord is on us. It's on my life. It's on this church. It's on your life personally. We need to be able to say every day, I am blessed. God is a good God, and He wants to bless us. In the Sermon on the Mount, which is probably Jesus' first public teaching, the very first thing that Jesus taught were the Beatitudes. And the very first thing to come out of His mouth, the very first word was blessed. Blessed. Jesus taught that we are blessed. Blessed is in the first chapter of the Bible, and it's in the last chapter of the Bible. The word blessed or blessing is mentioned in the Scripture over 500 times. I want you to understand this is a book of blessing. Our God is a God who blesses. He wants to bless you. Listen, the Lord doesn't want to curse you. He wants to bless you. He wants things to go well for you. We need to realize that He wants us to be blessed. Now, all of us who have children, and you know, we can say this about any parent who, even by the standards of this world, is a good parent. Any parent wants things to go well for their children. You want your children to be happy. You want them to find fulfillment and joy and peace in life. You want things to turn out good for them. How much more does our Heavenly Father want things to turn out good for us? Listen, we all go through some hard times, some difficulties, some battles and struggles. Amen. That's why we're more than conquerors. That's why we're overcomers. But our Father wants things to turn out good for us. He wants us to do well. He wants us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father wants you to be blessed. We need to realize how blessed we are. Listen, the Scripture says that He daily loads us with benefits. Daily, there are blessings of the Lord that so many just take for granted. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Blessings that we just daily take for granted, or we forget about the blessings of God that we are enjoying on a daily basis. And we need to realize how blessed we are. The freedoms that we have in this country. Amen. The prosperity that we enjoy. Doesn't He know there's a recession going on? Listen, we are still a blessed people. The most affluent society that has ever lived on the face of the earth. We're blessed. I'm telling you, most of all, we are blessed with spiritual blessings. Listen, if you were able to come to church this morning, and unless you're listening to this later on a CD, you were. If you were able to come to church this morning, you're blessed. If you were able to drive a car here, you're blessed. If you are able to walk in here, you're blessed. I'm telling you, we take a lot of things for granted and just don't even realize how the blessings of the Lord overtake us. Amen. We are blessed in America. Amen. Even more, you're blessed to be a Texan. You know, the Apostle Paul was not a Texan because he said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. And you know, I like to go visit other places, but I always like to come home. Well, seriously now, listen, if you were born in a Christian home, you're blessed. If you've been raised in church or you've been in church all your life, oh, you don't know how blessed you are. I'm telling you, you've been blessed. You had it good. God's been good to you. You say, oh, no, I've had problems. Listen, we need to realize the blessing of God that is on our life. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have victory. Amen. How blessed we are. We need to know this, first of all, that our Father wants to bless us. He wants to bless you. You need to know that. The word blessed means the state of prosperity or happiness that comes when a superior bestows his favor on you. Now, it mentions, in that definition, it mentions, and that's a biblical definition of the word, but it mentions the word prosperity. And you know, first of all, it certainly includes financial prosperity. But some people get hung up on that, and when they hear the word blessed, they just think that's what it's talking about, is material things. I want to tell you, there's a lot of things in life more important than material things. And I'm so thankful that the blessings of God are not limited to material things, that it means much more than that. And then some people get hung up on that second word of happy or happiness. In fact, I've heard some preachers, they just want to take the word blessed out of the Bible and we're just going to replace it with happy every time. But I'm telling you, the word blessed means much more than happy. It means something that's deep down in your soul. It is a well-being, not just in one area, your finances or you know, that you feel good about your circumstance. That's what happiness is, you know. You're happy because you're happy about what's going on in your life right now. No, the blessing of the Lord is much more than that. It is a well-being of the soul. It is having the favor of God, undeserved favor on your life. See, all of us that have been born again, we have received of God's grace through Jesus Christ. And that grace is undeserved favor. We have the favor of God on us because of Jesus Christ. Undeserved favor. You know, I mentioned this in the definition, that it comes when a superior bestows his favor on you. And you know, if you've got a boss who favors you, you're blessed. You're going to have some advantages. Things are going to go easier for you. It's going to be easier for you to be successful. If you've got a boss who is against you, it makes it tough, doesn't it? Now, I want to tell you, if you've got a boss, young people, if you've got a teacher that's against you, God can still bless you in spite of them. Don't depend on man to bless you. God can bless you through them, but He can also bless you in spite of them. But here's the point I want to make. Just as when you have a boss or a teacher or a superior who blesses you, you know, when they favor you, that brings blessing in your life. Listen, our Heavenly Father favors us. Because of Jesus Christ, there is grace on our life. That is undeserved favor. So we have the blessing of God on our life. Psalms 35 and 27 says, "The Lord be exalted who delights in the well-being of His servant." Listen, the Lord delights in it when we're doing well. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, He doesn't delight in it when you're having a hard time and things are going bad for you. No, He delights in the well-being of His servant. He's a good God. He is a giver. He is the one who wants to bless us until our cup runs over. So we need to find out how we can walk in a greater measure of the blessing of God. How we can put ourselves in position to receive all that God has for us. Now this morning, we're going to talk about being blessed. And I hope that every person in this building this morning can walk out of these doors today saying from the heart, I'm blessed. I am blessed. But I want you to know now, on Wednesday nights, we're going to continue this teaching and study about the blessings of God and how that we can be blessed. Because I'm telling you, all through the Bible, book after book, verse after verse, promise after promise, there are blessings for God's people, and we need to know how to believe and receive those blessings in our life. So this morning, we're just going to begin, but we need to know, first of all, that He wants to bless us. What a difference the blessing of God will make in your life. You know, the blessing of the Lord can cause all of your efforts to be fruitful. It can cause your life to just increase and flourish. I like to share this story. You know, a number of times over the years, I've planted shrubs, and they just didn't do very well until I bought some fertilizer, and I fertilized those shrubs like you're supposed to. And when I did, what was just kind of lifeless, just kind of hanging on. See, there's a lot of people right there. Just kind of hanging on. What was just kind of lifeless and hanging on all of a sudden began to flourish. All of a sudden began to grow. Have new foliage and just begin to bloom out. What happened? Well, me putting that fertilizer on that plant was like blessing. And you see, when the Lord blesses your life, what's been lifeless and fruitless, what has just been hanging on, all of a sudden it just begins to flourish and increase. That's the blessing of God. We need to understand that He wants to bless us. He wants to bless our lives so that we are prosperous and fruitful and victorious. So how can we have that kind of blessings in our life? I tell you, the first thing is you got to know that God wants to bless you. Now, if you weren't born with a spiritual silver spoon in your mouth, God still wants to bless you. See, you might say, well, I was brought up in an abusive home. God still wants to bless you. See, what I'm getting at here is don't limit the blessings of God by your background or your past, even your past mistakes. I got some news for you. Your past is as good as it's going to get. You just got to put it under the blood of Jesus and move on to the blessings that God has for you today and in your future. Don't allow the past to steal the blessings of God in your future. And I want to tell you something. We are certainly blessed when we've been raised in a Christian home or when we've had certain advantages and blessings in our life. But when we haven't, we need to realize that God is no respecter of persons. If we'll believe the promises of His Word, He will bless us. Not because of our past, in spite of it. God is able to bless you. So I want to encourage you and challenge you to believe that God wants to bless you. Everything in this book is for you. Every promise, every blessing in this book is for you. And so we want to learn and know how to put ourselves in the position to receive of every blessing that God has for us. First, you got to know He wants to bless you. Why does He keep saying that over and over? Because I want you to get it. You got to know this. God wants to bless you. As long as you've got this cloud over your attitude, your mindset, that you don't know, or worse yet, that you think somehow God has it in for you, I'm telling you, you're not going to be blessed. You have to know God wants to bless you. Not because of anything you've done, but because of Jesus Christ. There is a grace, a favor upon your life, and He wants to bless you. That's His plan. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And King James says, the thoughts that I have towards you. You see, that's what God is thinking towards you. That's His plan for you. It's for good, not to harm you. No, He wants things to go right for you. His plan is a good plan. He wants to bless you. Second, you have to believe you are blessed, and believe God for His blessings. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. I don't hear any Bibles turning. Y'all just going to read it off the screen, aren't you? Galatians 3, 6 through 9. Consider Abraham. Think about Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. Now, in other words, he's telling us we're not talking about natural children of Abraham. No, we're talking about spiritually. Those who believe are children of Abraham. What's the key there? What's the condition that you believe? Those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed. Those who have faith are blessed. Those who don't have faith are not blessed. Those who don't believe are not blessed. Those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We ought to get that. Listen, faith is a condition for the blessings of God. You have to believe. Listen, for you to even be born again, there is a condition. What is it? That you believe. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth. He didn't just say whosoever. No, He said whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm telling you that every blessing of God has to be received by faith. Those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. It is absolutely amazing to me what God is saying here and how most of the Christian world, at least in America, doesn't even believe that God will bless us like He did Abraham. And He says right here, those that believe, those that have faith, are blessed along with Abraham. You see, as we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that blessing becomes available to us. As you believe, as you have faith, then that blessing that was on Abraham, right along with Abraham, He said, you're blessed. All of the promises of God are appropriated by faith. And we need to realize that the blessings of God are received in our life by faith. Jesus said, what things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. So it's important that, number one, we know God wants to bless us. Number two, we got to believe. We got to believe for the promises, for the blessings of God in our life. It comes by faith. Those that have faith are blessed along with Abraham. That's how the Lord works. He responds to faith. He is pleased with faith. He requires faith. So many of the miracles that Jesus did, it was in response to people's faith. Listen, there were places where He went where the people had faith. The Bible says He healed them all. And in Nazareth, where there was so much unbelief, the Bible says He could do no great miracles there because of the unbelief of the people. If you want to receive the blessings of God in your life, you have to believe the word of the Lord. You have to accept those blessings by faith. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and believe the promises of God's word, and I'll tell you, it will open up God's blessings to you. Well, we'll just back up into Galatians 3, verse 5. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard? You see, you can't get God to do a miracle by earning it. You can't deserve a miracle from God. It doesn't matter what extremes you go to, you're not going to buy a miracle from God.
Amen.
He doesn't owe you anything. It is of His mercies that we are not consumed. But by faith, He does miracles and we receive the Spirit. It's by faith. And I tell you, you receive the blessings of God by faith. It's because you believe. Third, we are blessed in Christ. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. You see, in Jesus Christ, we are able to receive the blessings that God has for us. He has taken away that curse of the law. He's redeemed us from that curse. Listen, all of us deserved the curse. None of us, the Bible says, none of us has lived up to the righteous requirements of the law. Not one. He says, not one. But Jesus Christ has removed that curse. In Jesus, we've been redeemed. And what did He say? He said, in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. In Christ Jesus, we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1 and 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Now, I remember as a young believer, you know, just being carnal enough to say, or at least not to say it out loud to the Lord. I think I was smarter than that. But to think in my mind, now, Lord, every spiritual blessing, you know, in the heavenly places, every spiritual blessing in Christ, well, I think I'd rather just have $1 million right now. And not realizing the value of every spiritual blessing in Christ. So I want to tell you, you know, if anybody's got some of those carnal thoughts, well, I want to tell you, those spiritual blessings that you have in Christ are so far and away much more valuable than anything in this world. Wesley told me this morning that somebody in Burleson won the lottery, $70 million. And we're just praying that somebody that comes here, because we want y'all to be blessed. But you know, the sad thing is that most people that have won the lottery end up having such sadness and heartache and problems and trouble in their life. Many of them, their lives are destroyed. And here's the point I want to make to you. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. There are a lot of people that have millions of dollars, but when they put their head on the pillow at night, they are stressed, their soul is troubled and full of anxiety. The peace of God that passes understanding is worth far more than millions of dollars. You put your head on the pillow at night and you have the peace of God and your sleep is sweet, it's worth more than money. Listen, there's a lot of people in this world that achieve success and fame and fortune, and they are so miserable that they have to take drugs just to make it through another day. And they get this doctor and that doctor to prescribe them drugs until they finally end up killing themselves. Why? Because even though they have all of the things that this world tells you will make you happy, they're miserable. You see, the joy of the Lord is far and away a greater blessing than all of the success and achievements and things of this world. To have the joy of the Lord that we have in Christ that no man can take from us. Listen, it doesn't matter what you gain in this life. No matter how much you achieve, no matter how much money you make, no matter what you accomplish in this life, you can gain the whole world. But if you lose your own soul, what good is it? And let me tell you, the greatest blessing that we have in Christ is that we are right with God, that we are righteous. You see, in the Holy Spirit, we have righteousness, peace, and joy. And I'm telling you, those spiritual blessings are so much more than anything else in this world. So don't belittle those spiritual blessings in Christ that belong to you. Amen. How precious they are, and they are freely given to us by the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been blessed in Christ. Blessed us with that righteousness. Blessed us with peace and joy. He calls us His sons and daughters. Makes us to be joint heirs with Jesus. Gives us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and comfort us, to teach us and to abide with us. He's blessed us with His presence, an indwelling presence, that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. I'm telling you, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Christ, that old curse of the law has been removed. You see, the blessings of Abraham are ours. Now listen, Genesis 24 and 1 says, the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Had blessed him in every way. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? In every way. And what did we read right there in Galatians chapter 3? That for those that are of faith are blessed along with Abraham. That same blessing that Abraham received is for us, God's people. Now, some people will say, well, now it says blessing, singular. In Galatians chapter 3, it said the blessing that Abraham received. Now that blessing that they're referring to is that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, he was justified. He was made righteous by faith. And that same blessing is available to us. But let me tell you something. You see, when you have been justified, when you have been made righteous, when the curse of the law has been removed, then now you are in a position to receive all of the blessings of God. When the curse is gone and God looks at you and sees somebody who is justified, who is made righteous, then He can bless you. So don't allow this old religious doctrine to steal away the blessings of God for you, that all you have is that someday you get to go to heaven. Let me tell you something. Abraham is in heaven. Abraham went to heaven. In fact, Jesus talked about paradise. It was Abraham's bosom. That's what they called it. And when Jesus rose from the dead, He led captivity captive. He took all of those from paradise to heaven. Abraham's in heaven because he believed that it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, the Bible tells me that the promises and the covenant that we've received are better. It's even better. It's not lesser. Don't take away all of the promises and all of the blessings and say, well, the only thing we get in the New Testament is to go to heaven. That is a lie from the devil to keep you from the blessings of God. I'm telling you, the blessing, the Bible says very plainly in Galatians chapter 3 that the same blessing that was on Abraham is available to you by faith. But you've got to believe it. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you'll get a hold of it, if you'll believe it, you'll begin to walk in a greater blessing of the Lord. Those blessings, you appropriate those blessings by faith. Yes. You see, one of the greatest blessings is having the curse of the law removed from your life. Yes. All of us have messed up. None of us deserve God's blessing. We deserve the curses, but Jesus became a curse for us. Cursed is every man that's hung on a tree. He became a curse for us so that we could be blessed. He redeemed us from that old curse of the law. Let me read it once more. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that, we got to get it. He redeemed us from the curse of the law in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, I just want to go over with you just a part of the curses of the law. Because again, we need to identify what the curses are. You need to know what you've been redeemed from. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3. I'm telling you why I'm pounding this so hard. Because we're bringing down religious doctrine, religious stronghold that's been established in some people's minds for a long, long time. That those blessings aren't for you. Listen, Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's he talking about? It's right here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Beginning at verse 15, I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read quite a few of these because I believe you need to see if Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law, he redeemed me from that. That is, I'm reading the curse of the law right here. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You'll be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. He's saying it doesn't matter where you are, you're going to be cursed. It's going to go wrong for you. It's going to be bad. It's going to turn out awful because you're cursed. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land and the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flock. You'll be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you. Now listen, every time that it mentions the Lord in this passage, it's all capitals because it is the name Yahweh. The Lord, Yahweh, he says, will send on you curses and confusion and rebuke and everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you've done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you're entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever, inflammation, scorching heat and drought, blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. Listen, God's redeemed us from all of that. Through Jesus Christ, we've been redeemed from all of those plagues, from all of that trouble and hardship. The sky over you, over your head will be bronze. The ground beneath you, iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. Wow. I'm glad that curse is gone. I'm glad I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And you need to identify that when you're going through those things, that's not God. That's the curse. You've been redeemed from that. And you need to believe God for the blessing. And here's a great blessing. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Well, let me just give you a little more of it, all right? Verse 28 and 29, the Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday, you'll grope about like a blind man in the dark. You'll be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day, you will be oppressed and robbed and no one to rescue you. Thank God I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. 38 and 39, you will sow much seed in the field, but you'll harvest little because the locusts will devour it. You'll plant vineyards and cultivate them, but you will not drink the wine or gather the grapes because worms will eat them. I'm glad I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Well, just a few more, all right? Verse 58, if you do not carefully follow all the words of this law which are written in this book and do not revere the glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. The Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters and severe lingering illness. He will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in the book of the law until you are destroyed. He says even bad stuff that's not even in here, it's all going to come on you. That's a curse. I'm so glad I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I tell you, he has removed all of that curse in order that the blessing that was on Abraham might be upon us. We need to know. You see, once we've been made righteous. We've been justified. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. And God wants to bless us. Amen. Now, in the beginning of Deuteronomy 28, it lists out all of the blessings for those who fully obeyed. In other words, you didn't ever mess up. But I want you to understand this. We've been made righteous. We've been justified. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, but those blessings, that was only for them. We have a better covenant. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:22, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. It's not a lesser covenant. I'm telling you, in those first 14 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 8, there are basically seven categories of blessings, and I'm not going to take time to read them, but I just want to point out to you the seven categories. First is exaltation and promotion. It's a blessing from God. God is the one that lifts up and puts down, and when you have His favor on your life, that's a blessing. You'll be exalted and promoted. Here's a blessing from the Lord. Successful relationships in your family relationships, in your children, that's a blessing from God. Health is a blessing from God that's available to you. Reproduction, being fruitful, is a blessing from God that's promised there. Financial prosperity, that everything you set your hand to will be prosperous and successful. We're promised victory over our enemies. That's a blessing from God. And God's favor. You know what that covers? Everything else. When you have the favor of God on your life, it just works out. God brings His blessing, and man, it just turns out good. Amen. But the promise or the covenant that we have is a better covenant, not a lesser covenant. In other words, so many people today want to limit what God will do in your life. I'm telling you, we need to know we're serving a God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in you. We need to believe for the blessings of God. Hebrews 8 and 6 says, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant which He is a mediator of is superior to the old one. He said that covenant is superior to the old one. And it's founded on better promises. I'm telling you this morning, He wants to bless you. He's removed the curse of the law. And by faith, listen, in Christ Jesus, we're blessed. You need to know it, and you need to be able to say it out of your mouth. You need to believe it in your heart and say it out of your mouth that you're blessed. You need to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are blessed. If you feel like you got a curse on your life and things are just not going right, I'm telling you this message is for you, because if you'll get a hold of it and believe God, He'll bring you out from under that. Amen. He'll bring you into blessing. That's what your Father wants to do in your life. He wants to bless you, and He wants us to be a blessing. Now, I really view this as part of the blessing of Abraham. The Scripture said in Galatians very plainly that the same blessing that was on Abraham will be on those who have faith. And part of the blessing of Abraham was that he was a blessing to others. Genesis 12, 2 and 3, He said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Part of that's even quoted there in Galatians chapter 3 when it's talking about us. That same blessing that was on Abraham, that he was, that all nations were blessed through him. Now he's talking about that in Jesus Christ, that all nations were blessed. Through Abraham, through Jesus, all nations were blessed. But I want you to understand something. That blessing is for us as well. That other people are to be blessed through us. Have you ever had the opportunity that you knew that God blessed somebody else through you? that you knew that you got to be the vessel the Lord chose to bless somebody else through. Now listen, again, we get so wrapped up many times just in talking about money. And that's one way that you could really bless somebody. Amen? I mean, what a blessing. We enjoy that when somebody blesses you with money. We enjoy that. Amen. And it's a blessing to bless somebody else with money. Amen. To have an abundance and be able to do that. Amen. But it's not just about money. We've already established this. There are blessings much greater than money. And I'm telling you, that peace that you have, there's a lot of people around you that don't have it. There are people around you every day that don't have a joy of the Lord. There are people around you that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, there's all kinds of blessings you have in your life. God has blessed you so you can be a blessing. Jesus said, freely you've received, now freely give. And so I encourage you. Here's one of the greatest blessings that God has put in your life, that you're going to be a blessing to others. Yes. You know, one of the things the Lord showed me about that this week is that it's not just my family and loved ones and friends, not even just my church. No, He wants me to be a blessing to strangers and even my enemies. We bless those who curse us. We do good to those who despitefully use us. We pray for them. We bless them. Do good to them. Abraham was that way. And I tell you, you let the blessing of Abraham come on you. It's for you. Those who are of faith, it's for you. And you begin to bless others. You allow God to bless others through you. And you'll experience the blessing of Abraham. The Lord blessed him in every way. I want to illustrate to you that principle of being blessed and blessing others. I read this story and just think it just fits so well. A writer relates this in their book. They said that when they were a little girl, their teacher at school noticed how they would hold their book a certain way, tilt their head a certain way, looking at the blackboard. And that teacher took this little girl to her eye doctor and got eyeglasses for this little girl. And the little girl, being from a poor family, she said, well, I can't take these because we don't have money to pay for these. And the teacher said, no, you don't understand. When I was a little girl, somebody bought me glasses. And now I'm buying them for you. These glasses were paid for a long time ago. And that little girl understood that she was not just a recipient of charity, but she had been entrusted with something. And the teacher said, so someday you will buy glasses for somebody else. And I tell you, when you consider all of the blessing of God and what He's done for you, it is not just ours, but it is so that we've been entrusted with something. So that we can be a blessing to others. And as you do that and you become a channel and a vessel of the blessings of God flowing through your life, I tell you, it's greater and greater blessing. That's the blessing of Abraham. Amen. And so I encourage you and challenge you. Believe. You see, as long as you don't think you're blessed, I'm telling you, you're going to be stingy. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about everything. See, as long as you think that you're not blessed, that you're, you know, I'm talking about in your soul now. You think that you are crippled and hindered and hurt and bound. And as long as you think that, you're not going to be a blessing to anybody else. You're not going to be reaching out to anybody with the love of God. You need to know you're blessed. You're reaching out to people out of strength and health and fullness and abundance. See, when you really believe, man, I am prospering and healthy and whole and God is good to me, then you're ready to minister to other people. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you that God won't use you when you're hurting and when you're broken. But I'm talking about in your soul. You see, in your spirit, you need to know, in spite of what difficulties you might be going through, you're blessed. See, as long as we allow the circumstances of life and the battle and the hardships to get the best of us, we're not going to be a blessing to anybody. But when we rise up and realize that we are blessed and we're walking in the blessings of God, then we're ready. You go out of here looking for people to minister to help, to share Jesus with, because you've got something they need and you've been blessed so that you can be a blessing. Amen.